Oh, no.
It might have been low already. I'm not sure.
No, that's saying it's full right now.
Oh, okay.
See, it's that little one down there in the corner.
Oh, I was looking up there. Yeah. That's what went low, right? Not the battery. I was looking at the top, and it hit one dot.
Say, Frank, isn't it great to have so many people?
Yes. Okay. All right, back to Galatians chapter 1. We made a little progress last week. Did we make a little progress? We went down to verse 10. No, we didn't. We went down to verse 8,
yes,
9.
It's one verse for
10. I guess we wouldn't.
Galatians number 8.
Galatians number 8.
Every time we come here, we make progress.
Galatians number 8. What are you talking about? It's only 6 chapters in Galatians.
No.
Lesson number 8.
Lesson number 8. Okay.
Verse 10 is a great verse.
Grace.
We're gonna pick up at verse 10. But before we do that, I did want to. Chapter 1. Right.
That's First Galatians.
First Galatians. what I did want to do is just to recap, because when I read Galatians, it just becomes more and more apparent to me that they're all important, but this is very important that we establish what's really happening here. And Paul doesn't, maybe I'm thinking ahead, but this is really important to establish. There's a lot of new things happening with Paul. It's a new gospel. It's a new, I'll say, point of time, but with him begins the gospel of the grace of God, where God is dealing with men by grace alone, without any intangibles, without any extras. It's a new message, a new man on the scene. All these things pile up into this one climactic moment where he saves him and he says, I will show you how great things you must suffer for my name's sake and what I will reveal to you for the Gentiles, for us. And like I said, you go to any religious person and ask them, what do you think about Paul? Our friends say, let me ask you something. You know, they all, because this is what church is supposed to be. This. This is supposed to be a classroom to build you up in your understanding. All the other stuff is accoutrements. I was watching Judge Judy with my wife, and she said the accoutrements. I had looked that up. Yeah. It's all extra stuff that, you know, for us, we look at them as benefits, but they're not. They're hindrances to keep you from this. They are. Because you're first and foremost, you should have this in mind. Is I'm going... because I want to learn what God is doing. And so I'm going because this is my day. This is my day to usher. Or this is my day to sing my solo. Or this is my day for my usher duty.
Mm-hmm. You know? People say, well, I'm going to the early service so I can get it over.
Oh wow! Yeah. I want to get it out of the way. You know what? I'm going to digress for a moment here. It was me and Karen and I were talking last week after Tuesday's class, and what occurred to me is that we handled Miss Coleman poorly.
Okay.
I did. And we were talking about something else, actually, and that came up in the conversation where I said, you know what, as all the information we have, we were very ungracious that night. I was. And we may never see her again.
Wow.
But
how should we have handled it, you think, moving forward?
We should have handled it this way. Look at Romans. And we talked about Romans chapter 14.
A little more orderly, that's for sure.
Well, it was orderly. And you know that she did Romans 14.
She questioned when Frank said, once saved, always saved. That like threw up a huge red flag for her.
That started it, but on her side of it, she was not listening.
Uh-huh. Right.
On her side of it, we didn't handle that very well.
Because
she wasn't listening.
Romans 14?
Romans 14, right.
In other words, we'd give her straight verses and she just wouldn't listen to the verses. You know?
And and you take for granted that if a person comes that, you know, you're open to the word. But I don't know that. I don't know that about you all. It's when you lay the scriptures in front of a person, you expect that they will respond in faith. But if that was the case, everybody would understand this message, wouldn't it? There were some things going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. Mm-hmm. Personal and spiritual. Mm-hmm. As hard as we wanted her to see it, guess who didn't want her to see it?
Yeah. The adversary.
Yeah, sitting up there.
He didn't want her to see it. 14:1, it says this: him or her that is weak in the faith, receive ye. We received her. We welcomed her. We was happy to see her. We were glad that she kept coming back. But he says, but not to doubtful disputations. That's where we dropped the ball.
Okay.
That's where I dropped the ball. Is when she said, do you mean to tell me that I can go to the bar and have my drink and I'm still saved? And I said, I mean to tell you that. And show her the verse where you get salvation, it's free, you're sealed to the day of redemption. After those two verses, and she kept going, I should have said, well, you know what? I'm sorry you don't see that. I'm praying for you that the Holy Spirit would give you the stability and the assurance of salvation. Now let's get back to this. That's what should have happened.
Okay.
Because Paul said this, and Paul didn't say this. Jesus said this in the Gospels, where you remember the man who died, his brother died, and he wanted to send. He said, "Let me go back and warn my brothers not to come to this place." Mm-hmm. You know what he told him?
Mm-hmm.
He said,
"They won't listen to Moses." Or even if one should rise,
they have Moses and the prophets. He says, even though if one rose from the dead and went back to him, they still wouldn't believe. So we could have read 100 verses extra. She didn't receive it. She was not receiving the word. So we should just.
That's what I was going to ask.
Stop.
I was thinking about just people in general that I know that really don't have this, and how to even go to anybody, or should you go to anybody? Or
yeah, you should, but you should always see the limit. The minute you open this up, like Paul, we talk about in Galatians. We get back to Galatians here. Okay. So when we go back to Galatians. And that's what Paul said. He said this. When he starts off, he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached of me is not after man, neither by man, neither received it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right there, that man has to, like Ed said Sunday, he has to realize that It's not red letters that give it weight. It's the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. Not just the red letters. Mm-hmm. So when you open it up and you have this man read Galatians, and here's Paul telling you that I am the apostle to the Gentiles, right there, he has confronted God. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying when I say that? He has confronted God. That's his word. Mm-hmm. If he believes it. Who is your authority? Do you believe that this is the word of God? Well, he wrote this, and he wrote it for you to consider. We can't go to verse 3 if you don't believe verse 2. Yeah. That's true. Why? Okay, why go to another book and give him another verse out of that book when he didn't believe the book? That book. So like you said Sunday, where you have to meet a man right where he is. Something, put him on a shelf where he can reach it.
I'm wondering this. If we don't believe every word in this Bible, are we considered atheists?
I wouldn't say you considered an atheist.
Not if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Right. He's writing to believers.
Yeah.
So, well, that's another thing, too, is we assume all these people are saved.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you open these, scriptures up and you start reasoning with a man out of scriptures, and
he's a natural man.
Damn.
So that should have been your question.
You can tell by conversation if a person's saved or not, because you know what it takes to be saved. And when they start giving terminology and definitions that,
she knew she was saved as long as she didn't go in a bar and start drinking.
Well, she's saved because she doesn't sin.
Right.
What does that tell you? You don't have to say it.
She doesn't.
She
ain't saved.
So, but anyway.
Well, that might have been the answer. You're
now,
in real danger here.
She wasn't listening.
And here's where we are. Is we're all believers. As at one point or another, we didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you know why we didn't know it? We didn't spend time in it. You have to admit it.
Right.
You were reading over things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you begin to read these words, then God has something that he can store in you, where he has something to work with. So you read it, like Ed says, he began to see this and read this, and it began to work. And it worked. He says, well, I believe that. And he knew it. The Spirit says this is what saves you. And he says, I believe that. And if he made that really, that if he made that heart transaction, he was saved. He didn't have the insurance because he wasn't sold to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because he hadn't read enough yet. But the more he read it, the more the conviction came. And the reason why you didn't get it is because you listened to him, but you never read it.
Yeah, I was just rejecting it. I've heard it for so many years that probably.
Right. So when you begin to read it.
But Jerry met you where you were. That's what we were talking
right.
about.
Right.
He figured out where she was and started there.
Where's the sticking point? And then it's the word of God that worketh effectually right when you believe. Now, for you guys, maybe, I don't know where the sticking point was. Maybe you can go to 10 people and say, tell me something about Paul. Mm-hmm. They've never really even considered anything special about him.
Mm-hmm.
But why not? Because you never spent time over there. To them, you know what? To them, the Pauline, look how strange this is. To them, the Pauline epistles were just something tucked away, kind of extra stuff that don't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's everything. That's everything to the believer, to Gentile or everybody today.
I can remember when I first came to Ed's class and he talked through the book of Acts. And my whole life, I mean, when I first started coming to the class, I was, 45 years old? And up to that point in my life, I always thought of Acts as just kind of flyover country. And then he talked through Acts. And I mean, boy, talk about exciting and the Bible coming alive. And then, of course, that's that transition into what's going on with Paul. And, I mean, but it was there all along.
Yeah.
But, right. But it's just the pages you flip through when you're going from the Gospels to Revelation. You never spend any time.
Right, just let's get to the real meat.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody held your hand.
But watch this.
They never taught it.
How strange this is. All the truth that we have is Pauline doctrine. For years, Martin Luther, I just use Martin Luther because I was reading a verse and it made me think about, because Martin Luther used to say this, I want to light my stove with James, because it was really, he couldn't figure out how Paul and James were saying two different things. Now, this man, he was studying for the priesthood. He was right there to become a priest. And he was reading Galatians. And he just couldn't figure out. It just didn't add up. It was contradicting. And when he finally saw it, because he's spending time in Paul's writings, Listen, look. That's in the 1500s. And here's a man who's much more learned than we are. But what opened his eyes is that he began to read the Pauline epistles. And then he looks, he says, the just shall live by faith. One doctrine started a reformation. One doctrine of justification by faith. Do you know how much other doctrine is in Paul's epistles? And that's the thing. That's where you lose a man, is Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever denomination. The way you lose him is where he stops reading. Because if he keeps going, he'll find out if, hey, I'm sanctified already. So you can drop the Pentecostal denomination right there. How far you go is how far he'll take you. You stop, he stops. The edification is based on the word. Anyway, let's get back here. And that's why he says, I marvel to the Galatians. Can you imagine if Paul came in here and taught us for several weeks? And he would do a much better job than we do.
He can speak in person.
And you get it, and you get it. We all get it. And you say, you believe that? Yeah. You? Oh, I got it. We got it, Paul. And he leaves, he says, I'm going to be praying for you that you keep going. Gets on the boat, gets back, and he says, how's Galatians doing? They're back under the law. Back under the law? They were red hot. And he writes the letter, and he's like, right away, I marvel that you are so soon removed. I just got off the boat. That you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel, he says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And they still do it today. You go and tell them, like, we're saved by grace. No, that's not it. Not just grace. You have to do where you get that from? I would stop going over there if I were you.
Oh,
I was told that it's not that God will leave you. You can leave God and not be saved.
Any way you want to put it. That's you can walk away if you wanted to. Well, in your mind you could. You can break it off, but he won't break it off. Like my pastor said, it ain't like a car. You can't get in and get out of it when you get ready. It's like you in Christ, this is a spiritual transaction. That's why you didn't have nothing to do with it. Because if you could lose it, guess what? None of us would be saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or stay saved. Yeah. So, or act saved. He says, for verse 8, he says, if anybody preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And we covered that. The weight of that is because Christ has done so much on our behalf. It was nothing for Paul to say, if any man preaches anything other than that, let him be accursed. If any man undermines, this is a gospel that tells you that everything that Christ has done for you up front and freely, if any man comes in and undermines that, what are you going to say? You going to say, bid him Godspeed? Preach on, brother? What would you say? He says, God ought to get you for doing that. Can you imagine that you go, okay, you got a house, you go, and you build, and this happens. You go, you furnish this house, you renovate this house, and it's ready, you're getting it ready, and then you go back, and one of your workers has stripped it. He's taken out, you just put in the vanity, he's taking it out. You put in the carpet, he's pulling it up. You paint the walls, he's dirtying the walls up. You put in the shower, he's breaking up the tile. What would you do to that man? That's my best worker.
Yeah.
You'd get rid of him, wouldn't you?
You'd be whooping up on his head.
So, what do you think God thinks where he says, go out, Paul, and establish them in the doctrine? And Paul preaches Christ, and then here comes another man right behind him and says, not Christ, but something else. Paul says, you let God get him. Say it.
And then, though, the blessing is that he's moved to write his letter to them. Because they are going off the track, and we get to learn so much from this letter that he wrote to us.
Yeah. Because he knows that we will do the same thing.
Right.
We do the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We still debate an issue that was settled 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So. Every Sunday. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's Paul saying, now, does that sound like, do I sound to you like a man who's trying to win his approval? Do I sound like I'm trying to win friends and influence people? Like, who's, right? He says no. He says I'm not looking for his approval. Look at First Corinthians. I believe it's 13. First Corinthians.
So Frank, when everybody was preparing the office for the ribbon cutting that we recently had.
Uh-huh.
I only work on restaurants and closets, so I came in and came back here to help set the table, and I said to one of the girls in here who came one time to Bible study, she's supposedly a Christian, I said, wow, like everything possible is being done to take God out of this room. The mats were gone. The blackboard was flipped. There were posters all over that. Now, they did leave the Bible. She's pulling up. You don't want to offend people of other faiths. And I said, oh? I said, who are you going to please? Man or God? She was like, man.
So, best laid plans was to cover that all up. But the people that came in here and were eating and sitting down and everything, they noticed this part back here. And at different times, they asked us, they said, well, what is this room? What are you all doing? We said, oh, it's a Bible study. You know, we do a Bible study here. So, the cat got out.
That's, you know what? But that's how, that's what religion would. Okay, listen, 1 Corinthians, let's see, I think it's 13.
Was that something just recently happened?
Yeah, we just had a ribbon cutting.
Oh, one of your workers.
Yeah, the atheist daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is your daughter atheist? I got a son-in-law who's an idiot. I just call him a straight-out idiot. And, you know, he got robbed Saturday night. Three guns, three guys, right to his head. He pulls his wallet out. He says, I got my money. And they open it up and says, see, nobody had thrown it back at him. Usually they take it for the driver's license.
Well, he got off easy. you know what? I don't think that's 1 Corinthians, but Paul said this. He says when the Corinthians were having a problem with Paul, you know, they were comparing him to the more popular apostles, so-called apostles. And he said to them, he says, it's a very small thing to me to be judged by your standards. I like that because he wasn't working for the Corinthians. He was working for God.
Yeah.
He said, it doesn't matter what you think about me. He said, I like it. He said, it's a very small thing. it's a very small thing that you should judge me. Mm-hmm. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, I don't even judge my own performance.
My point for that story was I think he's probably spoke to God that night, Saturday night.
Probably so.
So when Paul's with the
when he says, but with me is no very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not my own self. That's the one you're looking for.
Well, then, well, they were comparing him to the other apostles, false apostles that were around there. But the point that,
is that the verse you were looking for?
Yeah, that was it.
1 Corinthians chapter 4.
4. Okay. Wow. Okay. Way off. But today is everybody compares each other. You know, but they don't preach the truth. And Paul said, he that compareth himself with another is not wise. Mm-hmm. But what they do is the preaching now has become a contest. Even among the grace circles, I believe. And we're having a conversation that it's become like a Mars Hill. You know what happened at Mars Hill?
No.
You
not
know?
At all.
Why not?
Tell us.
Why don't you know what happened at Mars Hill?
Mars Hill, that's where he went and they had all the statues to the gods, including the unknown god. Wasn't it?
I thought that was the Mars Hill.
Okay, we're going to find out what happened. Acts 17.
That was Mars Hill.
Yes, that was.
Okay, that's all you had to say.
but that was part of Mars Hill.
I'm just to ask if I was on the right track. That's all I had.
Well, you're in the right page, in the right
book.
Country
Club of God. Choose what you want.
Acts 17. Look at verse 19. We'll start there. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of what? Of Mars Hill, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. So the point at Mars Hill is they had a, it was a oratory.
It was an open podium.
Yeah.
open mic.
Like a position. Right. They were all, you know, who's the better? Who's got the best doctrine? Who's the best speaker? That's what we do. But nobody, it's no substance in it. You know what I mean? There's no, the meat's not there. Because they're not preaching this. They're not preaching Paul. And Paul, that's why Paul can say, do I? If I was to persuade men, I would be telling you something now to tickle your ear. That's where you'll go. If you go to different assemblies, it'll always be something to make you feel good. Something that will put money in your pocket. All those good, filled by good words and fair speeches. To deceive the hearts of the simple. But Paul says, I don't do that. He says, my proof is, I just told you, if anybody preaches anything other than I preach, let him be what?
Cursed.
And he said, did that sound like a man trying to be in the mainstream? He says, no. He says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this, I know what they say, that Paul was sent out by the church. He was a missionary from the Jerusalem church. That's what they say. But he just told you what? He got it from where?
Jesus Christ.
He got it from, he says, it's not after man, and it's not of man. What does he mean by not after man?
It didn't come from man.
It didn't come from man?
It's not after the doctrine of man.
It's not. If he said this, if you walk after the flesh, what does it mean to walk after the flesh?
You're in hot pursuit.
You're in hot pursuit of the flesh. Yes.
It means you're being led by the flesh, not the spirit.
And he says, I'm not working for, you know, I'm not anybody's armor bearer. Y'all can relate to that, right? Y'all know that terminology, right? Armor bearer, you here's a pastor, and you following him. And whatever he says, I'm nobody's yes man. That's what Paul says. This is what I got. It's not because another apostle told me this. And it's not of man. It didn't even originate from a man. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. Where did the 12, where did theirs come from?
Come from a man.
Christ on earth. A man. The Son of Man.
They can say that, couldn't they?
Uh-huh.
And even when he was resurrected, it was still the same message that he gave to them, to the 12. But he says, it's not of man, neither by man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, to show you there's something different is, if it was the same gospel that Peter and the 12 preached, the same that Paul preached, Why would Paul need a revelation? Why would he need special revelation for the Lord to tell him something that he could have just sat down and they could have brought him up to speed? Or he could have been like Barnabas, just came into the group and kept going, right? He removes Paul, and he says it here, and began to give him a revelation that it was not of man, neither by man, but he begins to give him a revelation, and he says, he gives him a little background. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. He said, I was real religious. I was more religious than my peers. I went to all the conferences. I went to all the seminars. He said, you know, he said at Gamaliel's feet, that was the teacher of that day, of the law. And when Paul says he got this by revelation, can you imagine? And I think I might have mentioned this, where I was reading something where, and this was secular writing, where, you know what, it might have been that. Well, anyway, where the said this, that Gamaliel had two star students back in his day, but one of them departed from his teaching. And this is just a secular book, and I was like, I know who that was. That's what they say, he departed from his teaching. But can you imagine that? You sit there, the same thing we do. You know, you learn all this information, and then you get to a point where everybody like, wow, that's smart. That guy's smart. And then you look up and you read something like Paul, and then you realize that everything you learned for the last 10 years was wrong. And you're like, wow. And Paul, you know what? He's so convicted in his doctrine that he's going to Damascus. He just got letters. It wasn't enough to be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was done. Everybody was gone out of Jerusalem except the apostles, right? He goes to the high priest. He says, listen, give me the authority to go to Damascus or wherever, where I can finish the job. And he says, you like that, Paul? Here.
Get on your horse.
He's on the way. He said, I persecuted them to strange cities. Well, you figure, okay, they're out of Jerusalem, just let it go. He says, no. That's why he said, look at verse, he says, 14, I was more exceedingly zealous. You know what a double modifier is? You ever heard of that? Double modifier? You know what a modifier is, right?
Yeah. Something that changes a little bit.
It takes a word and it amplifies it to give you the sense of its importance or its magnitude. So he says, I was zealous of the law. But then he modifies it. He says, I was exceedingly zealous of the law. And then he doubles it up. And he says, I was more exceedingly zealous. He says, show me a guy that's hot for the law. And he says, I'll outshine him. He was sold out to the law. We don't get it. we don't even, if I'm trying to think, who can we say that somebody that you know who is just like top notch in what he does? We'll say, I think about like Michael Jordan. You say Michael Jordan.
I was going to say Djokovic, the tennis player. Just,
okay.
Absolutely.
And you say, you think he's good.
Yeah.
I'm better than him. Now you have to look at that and you can say, oh, come on now. That's kind of stretching it, don't you think? And Paul says, no. He says, I wanted this more than anybody.
Well, and that's what gets you there.
Well, but
it got him to where he.
It got him to where he was, his status. But
I didn't mean that.
He says,
I didn't want to road to Damascus.
Oh, right. That's what he was that excited to go there. But he says, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I was gung-ho. I was all the way in. He says, but something happened. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, when he's saying that, you can look at it this way, and I'm not making you believe this, but he's using that in a figurative sense. Because his mother's, when he says mother's womb, he's speaking about Jerusalem. That was his. I mean, that's, if you go to college and you spend 4 years, 6 years in college and you graduate and you have an allegiance to that school, don't you? Mm-hmm. What do they call it?
The traditions, are you talking about?
Yeah, what do they call it? When you say, what college did you go to?
Alma mater.
You know what that means?
That's what I was trying to think of. I don't have a clue what
that
means.
My mother is something.
Right. It's
soul, or
it's your not holy mother, but you, it is. It means it's your mother. That's you're attached to her.
Yeah.
My allegiance is to this school. Well, Paul says, that's Jerusalem's my mother. My allegiance was to her and the law and everything that they stood for. But he says, when he called me, he separated me from them.
Nourishing mother.
Nourishing mother.
That's what it means in Latin.
He separated me, thank you. And called me by his grace. To do what? To reveal his son in me.
So when he says he separated me from my mother's womb, you said Jerusalem? Or Judaism is what he meant.
It's saying here like foundational Jewish life. It was like his foundation.
Yeah. Well, where were they?
That was his world.
Right. Yeah. Where were they?
Jerusalem.
That's where. Listen, this is a man who left his home in Tarsus and was studying in Jerusalem. Didn't he? He just told you what he did.
Yeah.
Right. And if he said, I was more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers, he was telling you that I'm never leaving Jerusalem University.
This is my home.
This is my home. Jew you. I'm never leaving Jew you. So, now, see, you don't get this. You talk to a person and they'll tell you, I've been going here for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm never leaving this church. My daddy went to this church.
for my aunts the other day, and she told me that her pastor's saying things that she knows that are wrong. So I told her a little more about our study, and she says, well, but, you know, I love my pastor, and I have, you know, I have to go on Sunday.
Now, what Paul said, the same thing. He could have said, I love my teacher of the law, Gamaliel. I'm never going to leave him. But here's what happens. If you put yourself, if you take sides and you cling to the law or you cling to the religion, guess what? Guess who you'll never know?
Guy he met on the way to Damascus.
Listen, that's right. He said this, listen. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me. What does separate me?
Right and divide.
To move you.
Mm-hmm.
To
split you.
Put some distance.
To put some distance between you and something else. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and reestablished. Now that is whatever you have allegiance to right now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, but when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You know how he's calling you right now? How he calls through his word. He called Paul verbally and he saw him, the physical manifestation. But for us, he's going to call you through his word. And he said this, why did he call us? Why did he call Paul? To reveal his son in me. Then he says, you've been working, you've been laboring, you've been studying, you've been toiling, you've been fighting in the name of religion, and you don't, in the name of God. And you don't know me. You don't even know me. And he says, the person that you think you're after, he says, now I want to show you who I really am. But to do that, you got to leave that stuff alone. You got to leave.
Can't do that, follow him.
You can. If you want to know me, you say, you got to put that religion down. And then you say, well, Lord, I've been over there 20 years. I got so much invested over there. All my friends over there.
Well, he didn't say anything, did he?
My family's over there. I put money in that church.
I built that church.
I helped build that church. I got a position in that church. They know me over there.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to say when I leave?
They're going to call me.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. Listen, what do you think? We're nobody. What do you think Paul thought? Where here's a man who completely, like he said, when he run that list in Philippians, he says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day. He go all the way down. He lists those things. He says, man, they knew me. They knew me.
Here they are.
And counted it all but dung.
And he turned, when he said that I might know him.
Him.
Now, one, if nothing else, this is what I believe this, I know this, is God is not in the mainstream. He'll tell people, this is, even your own flesh will tell you this. And we had this conversation when we were together at old William's house, is that ain't church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's something else. It sure is something else. It's not religion. Over here, we're getting to know him. Over there,
all right.
The farther you go over there, the farther you are away from him. That's what people don't believe. Is the deeper you go into the religion, the farther you get away from knowing who God really is. For him revealing himself to us.
The deeper I got into this, the more I wasn't sure I wanted to get any deeper. You know, it really starts, you thinking.
Because that's why do you feel like that? Why did you feel that way?
Well, everything that I, like you just said, everything that I did, everything that I'd come here and tell stories, and Ed was soaking it in, and everybody else was just saying, boy, he's lost. But everything I thought I was doing right. Everything I'd done, everything that I'm learning, everything I'd done was like that pile of dunk, you know. And I was stepping in it.
That's how you look at it, Frank.
What was good about the whole thing is I didn't have to go through 45 years of knowing wrong to come over here. I was already wrong when I come over here. I passed all that up, and hopefully I'm absorbing more of this every time I come. And then I get home, and I'm thinking all the way home I'm going to pick this up and start reading it. And as I tell my little grandchildren, I say, you know, the devil sits over here, and God sits over here, or Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, you got to get that guy off your shoulders and start listening to this guy all the time.
But that's good. You know what? Just the fact that you leave here wanting to do it is proof that God is working in you. Don't you think we go home thinking the same thing? I want to read when I get home. Do you know what we do when we get home? Eat.
You don't eat much.
Click.
You ain't got
click on the TV. We're gonna stop right there because that's a good stopping point, and we'll pick up the next verses next week.